We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me now, Anthony Puntarero. He is the CEO and founder of Success Co. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, if you could start out and tell us, what is Success Co?
Okay, well, Success Co is the parent company of Success Series. And what Success Series is, it's a coaching instructional platform which allows our users to experience superstars in any sport and get a lesson from them in virtual reality and one-on-one experience.
Very cool. Content creation businesses really, really thriving right now. And the educational content in particular is getting really hot. But you have a couple of really unique components to what you're doing. Obviously, the VR and then just the nature of being able to take lessons with your favorite athlete, et cetera. Can you tell me a little bit more about these unique qualities?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So effectively, what we set out to achieve when we first got started was to bring, you know, the world of superstar sports, athletes, entertainers to everyday life and for this to be accessible to everybody. So with the obviously the emergence of virtual reality between now and say the next 5 or 6 years, we thought we could create something where we could actually, immerse the user in this experience where they can learn. Our hashtag is learn from a pro. So you are learning from Ricky Fowler, say, in the golf class, we have a basketball class, a baseball class soon to come out. We obviously can't give away who we're working with just yet. But we also see some scalability into entertainment, lifestyle aspects as well. So we do see quite a broad scalability opportunity, in that as well.
And you have been in this industry for a while, or sports specifically, I should say. Can you tell me a little bit about your other company, Instant Sponsor, and kind of how you transitioned or started Success Co as an extension of that company?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I've been in the industry, sports, advertising, media industry for some time, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And what's interesting about Instant Sponsor is our mindset was to create a platform in sport that was an efficient process of procuring sponsorships and bringing a larger pool of sponsors to different sporting opportunities, whatever they may be. Why this is really interesting for us is because we have our own sport, if you like, or we've created our own content. So rather than do deals with, a team in the major leagues or in the NBA, this is about having our content under the banner of Success Co. and Success Series, and we can bring our sponsors that we have into this realm as well, which is exciting because we see that there's great synergies between virtual reality and the companies that we deal with and have dealt with for the last 5 to 7 years. So, they're pretty excited about how the future sits and how it looks in the VR landscape. So if we can capitalize on those opportunities, I think it's going to be also very exciting.
Yeah. Was there a specific instance when this idea of Success Co and the Success Series in particular was born?
There was, in a way. It's a great question because the first time I saw virtual reality through a headset, I thought it was cool. I thought it was a very, it was a different experience, of course. But I thought the ability to learn from someone in an environment like that was sort of the first thing that, came to my mind. It wasn't so much viewing sport or something like that. It was more, you could really have a one-on-one lesson with someone, or someone could teach you anything really in that environment. And I think that is something that excites me because you can create that and you can scale that obviously, globally, and someone can access a golf lesson with Ricky Fowler in any part of the world. And I think that accessibility is really probably the key to what we're doing. The content has to be great. And Ricky, has done a fantastic job and we're really proud of what we have that we've gone to market with. But the ability to be accessible and also, on that accessibility, $3.99, it would start for a lesson up to $5, $6. We feel like everyone can afford it and everyone can get involved and sort of learn how to play better and get taught by Ricky at the same time.
Yeah, that's a really tricky thing, is choosing the price point. Did you guys just go with a gut feeling, or was there extensive research behind it? How did you come up with
your
price
point? Yeah,
it's
sort of a bit of both. It's a good question also because, you never really know how something is going to hit the market. And, what you might think is a great price and affordable may not translate across the board. So it's fascinating how we've been received. We launched last Monday. So it's been, 7 days. And, we launched on the back of Ricky's social media. And, our conversion rate on that has been pretty solid. We're very happy with the number of downloads that we have, to this point. We haven't really done anything as yet. So, we're excited about that. As far as price point in relation to your question specifically, I guess you know, we can't compare it to getting a golf lesson at a golf club or something like that. That would be $60, $70, $80, I would imagine. You know, you would have to get yourself to the course. You would have to get clubs. You would have to do all that. You know, what we are trying to do is something, you know, it's slightly on the different end where, you know, you can sit in your living room, you can sit in your, you know, wherever you are in the world, you can put the goggles on and have Ricky give you that lesson one-on-one. So we think there is a bit of guesswork. So you're sort of right on that, but it's more about, you know, what's a sweet spot for people. And I think to learn from, you know, a top 10 golfer in the world, how to approach chipping or a bunker shot or how to get, you know, extra yards off your driver and stuff like that, I feel like that's very affordable.
Oh, extremely affordable. In fact, when you have that lower price point, then you're really relying on the numbers. And you alluded to the fact that you were utilizing his social media. Were there other ways that you marketed the course and are really, really driving it to his fans?
Look, there are. And I think, you know, we are obviously targeting Ricky Fowler's fans. He's one of the most engaging, well-liked, you know, I almost, you know, I call him, you know, a celebrity golfer in the sense, you know, he's one that overlaps being a fantastic player and obviously in the top 10, but he has that life off the course. And, you know, he's a bit of a rock star in a lot of ways as well, even by his sponsors. You know, he's not your stereotypical golfer that, you know, definitely when I grew up watching golf, they were not like Ricky. And I guess that's exciting for us, you know, and the reason we targeted someone like Ricky is that he's a universal brand. He really is a global ambassador for the game. So to your question, you know, we look at synergies with even, you know, the governing organizations of golf who are trying to grow the game in certain parts of the areas. We see a great synergy with them. You know, they are obviously trying to grow the game in terms of content and tournament play and, you know, the accessibility for that globally. And so we want to sort of, you know, jump on the back of that, for lack of a better term, and then say, okay, well, you want to get better at golf, then this could be the way. And this is a way which you can learn from, you know, obviously one of the most, you know, famous golfers on the PGA Tour, and you can experience him in a one-on-one lesson type of thing. So it's not just Ricky's fan base that we're targeting. It's all of golf and anyone that would be willing to sort of learn or to experience something. And the other thing that's important, you know, it's not, you know, too technical a coaching content piece. You know, we really try to shy away from that, you know, because there's a lot of that in the golf world, albeit not from, you know, a top level player like Ricky, but we want it to be cool. We want it to sort of target a younger group of people as well. And I think Ricky's fantastic for that. But at the same time, you know, it's important for us to showcase and to sort of use our, you know, start our company on the back of such a big name and sort of leverage his fan base, as well as, you know, golf generally, fan base universally.
And it seems like such a no-brainer that his fans would appreciate something like this, but they tell you to test all ideas, even if they're great ideas. So did you do something before launching to really test your idea? And if so, how?
We sort of did and we didn't. You know, we look, golf tuition and instructional pieces, like I said, have been around for a long time. It already is a proven market. You know, we didn't invent golf clinics and golf training. We sort of thought we would leverage, you know, Ricky Fowler with the technologies of this current time period and those 3 to 5 years from now. And I think that's interesting because basically we just looked at potentially, you know, where the industry is headed and tried to utilize, you know, the largest name in golf or one of the that there is. And so it wasn't so much about testing. We really, when we did the filming with Ricky and we sat down and sort of mapped it out, the focus was on just being yourself. You know, we don't want to give you too much technical information because golf is hard and to learn technicalities is even harder. And sometimes it's the simplest things or it's the little things that can go a long way into learning anything. So, you know, on top of that, it's not just about coaching, you know, how to hit the perfect shot, how to hit it further. You know, we sit down with Ricky in a one-on-one chat. And here he talks about, you know, his support network, the sacrifices he made. And when you see our teaser, you see that he's, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years old. And he's playing golf out in the driving range. And that's a personal connection that a lot of people certainly, you know, when I watched that, I felt, wow, like, you know, Ricky has been doing this since he was 5, 6 years old. And now he's, you know, a product of what he's done for his whole life. So that is, you know, inspiring. And, you know, we want to inspire, you know, sports enthusiasts across the globe. And I feel like, you know, I hope that we've encapsulated that through Success Series.
Yeah, so it's so much more than educational in nature. It's really to inspire the fans and then also for them to kind of get to know the pros on a different level.
Exactly. So actually, one of the first pieces of advice that I got when I'd started this was, you know, what would be really cool if you actually, you know, if Ricky explained how we got to the PGA Tour. Yeah, sure, golf, you know, how to putt, how to do this, we get that. But, you know, what does it take to get to that level? And it's staggering when you realize how much hard work it is and how many millions of golfers there are out there that strive to be, you know, playing at the top level. Now, that's not to say that everyone that starts playing golf wants to play at the top level. And if you can pick up shots and you can play better with your mates or, you know, with your family or whoever you play golf with, I feel like that's, you know, everyone wants to be better at something if they can. And if it's not, obviously, you know, too expensive and it's accessible, I think anyone would want to get better at, you know, why suck at something when you don't have to?
Absolutely. Well said. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about developing this company. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
Hello.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I'm continuing my conversation with the CEO and founder of Success Co. So you've really combined a few interesting industries here, VR, golf, online education. What has the response been like?
It's been very positive. I feel like we've hit a sweet spot for a lot of people. And I feel like, you know, the accessibility of what we're offering is huge. And, you know, I also think we have the ability to scale, you know, like I said, into many different aspects of lifestyle, entertainment, other sports, which is important in a product because you want to keep it as dynamic and as, you know, ahead of the game as you can. And, you know, it is a disruption play, I guess you could call it, in the market. You know, typically golf lessons are not available in virtual reality, as well as learning how to hit a jump shot or learning how to, you know, throw a pass from the pocket in terms of American football. So, you know, we are creating something new, and we're definitely, you know, we feel like we're creating, you know, a real technological advancement in, you know, in what we're trying to do in instruction and in coaching.
And you are self-funded, so that's come with some freedoms and opportunities. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, we can pretty much call the shots with what we are doing on a daily basis. There's not a huge hierarchy or you know, we don't need to seek approval at this stage or things like that. You know, I surround myself with a fantastic team and that they play, you know, their own instruments in their specific field. And that's why it works. You know, we have a great team. We have 12 people on board at this point. And, you know, we're excited about what we're doing. And we all share the same vision and the passion for what we're doing. A lot of my team is solely focused in the VR landscape. And their number one priority is to create these experiences in virtual reality. I come from the other side of it where, you know, I bring the talent from, you know, what we've used with Instant Sponsor at the past and obviously the connections with teams and leagues and organizations, as well as sponsors too, which I think is very important in that realm. So, you know, you're right in saying there is a sense of freedom. You know, we can sort of be a bit cavalier at this stage and see where that takes us. And hopefully it's, you know, it's a good place and we're moving forward.
What's been the response from the pros, and what are the benefits that they see from it?
This is probably the most satisfying thing for me as a CEO, is seeing how eager the athletes are to partake in this. You know, I always thought that would be the biggest challenge. You know, I was a bit naive in thinking, oh, of course, if, you know, if you make a video with this guy or with teaching you something, you know, we're going to sell, you know, a billion versions. But, you know, I thought to convince the talent would be probably the most difficult part. And for some reason, it hasn't been. And as I've learned that and spoken to many professional athletes and entertainers, et cetera, they're so excited to give back to their fans. And we've really touched on a sweet spot for them too. You know, to create a legacy, to leave a legacy behind where, you know, let's talk about Ricky, for example. We can watch Ricky play golf every week on the PGA Tour. But for him to leave something behind where, you know, kids of today and people my age and people older can learn, you know, how he actually plays golf or important things into doing that, I think is really probably the thing that got us over the line most with the professional athletes. I also think, you know, the VR aspect of it, to be one of the first people to do this in virtual reality, is probably, you know, the other half of it too. So we have got nothing but great feedback from the athletes. They want to share their secrets. And that's why we ask Ricky and the athletes and the entertainers that we engage with, you know, we don't script it very heavily at all. You know, we set a platform and a framework that we'd like to cover topics. But, you know, I just said to Ricky, you know, just go ahead, just be yourself. You know, that's what we want. We want to learn from you, not me or not anyone else. You know, what makes you tick and how do you get here? So that's something that, you know, putting the power in their hands has definitely been a good thing from our perspective.
Awesome. How important are strategic partnerships and the distribution of your content?
It's very important. I think distribution is everything. If you're going to create content in this environment, there is not a lot of content out there, it would seem, at this stage. And that's speaking very generally, of course. But, you know, specifically with what we're doing, we see us, in a sense, and I'm always reluctant to get on this path, but a little bit on the first to market side. You know, there are, you know, a few other golfers in the world that are higher ranked than Ricky, but none of them are doing a VR series at this point, at least not of this very minute. So I'm sure that will change potentially as the VR industry takes off and sort of hits the goals and the milestones that it is expected to hit over the next year to say 5-6 years. And then we're really going to get a good understanding of, you know, how VR is effective, you know, across the board, not just in coaching, just as the industry as a whole. You see a lot of these, you know, big brands, big companies releasing new headsets and more affordable headsets by the end of the year. And, you know, they're really focused on putting, you know, headsets, VR headsets in as many households and as many people's hands as possible. So we want to be there when the penny drops and when everyone gets on there and, you know, everyone's walking down the street with a VR headset and it's like, okay, well, what can we watch now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we've done a good job of securing some of the distribution partners that we have to be front and center on some of the devices that will be coming out, you know, in the short term. Some are already out. So, you know, we're excited about that because I feel like the more reach you can have, the more people that can see what Success Series is doing and as broad a content as we can create in terms of not just being niche with golf, but having, you know, English football, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA players, whatever that might be, and some entertainers, some lifestyle stuff. I feel like, you know, my goal when we set this out, set out for this was, you know, to be the, you know, the go-to for learning, for instruction, to be that, you know, one-stop shop. And we have a long way to go, but, you know, we've got the first wheels in motion and we just started this journey.
Very cool. And you've been an entrepreneur for several years now. So what do you think is the biggest challenge and how have you overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge is getting in front of the right people. I've always thought if I could get in front of the right people, I could potentially, you know, give my dream to them or share the vision with them and they would get it. And I think, you know, it really makes sense to research who are the people that have synergies with what you're doing. Because obviously, if you pitch to investors that are not specific to your field, I mean, I don't mean exactly specific to the you know, to the nth degree, but, you know, if this is a typical play for them and it's not that much of a lateral move, I feel like they're going to get up more than someone that's not. And for us, we look for strategic partners, you know, partners that are already in golf and in sport, partners that already have a distribution, have a reach, have a user base. And I think that that's sometimes more important than the money. But, you know, you're exactly right when you say, you know, there are a lot of challenges. You know, there are, you know, it's hard to go in there and to pitch and even to get knocked back and to get, you know, the runaround. And I mean, every entrepreneur that is listening to this, and I'm sure even the ones that are sitting, you know, in Wall Street in their offices all experienced it. And it's a test of your own fortitude. It's a test to what you, you know, what your makeup is, because it's easy to quit. Quitting is the easiest thing in the world. But sometimes you're driven and everyone's different. And, you know, not everyone's in your face and not everyone's overly confident, because we have bad days and we have good days. We're humans. We're not robots. So it's just important to keep the vision. And I think you can keep the vision a lot easier if you have a passion for what you're doing, because you love it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate your insights, and so cool what you're up to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably...
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Kelly Khalil is joining us right now. She's the CEO and founder of Loverly. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us, give us a quick recap. What's your company, Loverly, do?
Loverly is a website, book, and app that helps couples plan their weddings online.
So you have an awesome app. You were just telling me about this.
Yes.
But before you do, I want you to preframe it like you did about the story that was a failure that now led to the creation of this app. Take it away.
So the vision for the business was always to help brides find ideas, people to hire, and things to buy for their weddings. And I raised my Series A in 2014, chasing the investor dollars. And I kind of got pushed into or influenced into doing commerce because we had real-time trend data on what people were purchasing. So we launched a little collection of little white dresses. It was up for 4 months and ultimately not very many sales. However, so it was a major failure, but from that failure became essentially the opportunity of what is now our new product. Mm. We put a little chat on the site to get couples who had questions about products, and they weren't asking about the products. They were asking for our advice. Help me find a photographer. Help me find stationery for my weddings. And so we realized that that service is what couples wanted. So we launched the first ever virtual wedding planner app. It's an iOS exclusive app. You can download it in the App Store. You can chat for free with a virtual planner and then purchase flat fee affordable wedding planning packages. They start at $49, they go to $300. And we're bringing wedding planning to the masses all on your iPhone.
So most people don't understand. People hear it all the time. Oh, we made an app. But they don't understand either how costly it can be, how much time it takes, how many iterations you have to do, how much constant testing and tweaking you have to do. Tell me about that part of it, because it sounds really cool. But I want people to understand the realistic part of, like, when you're going to create an app, how much money, how much time, how many things didn't work out.
Totally. So when we first, learnings from the e-commerce, I should have just put up a quick cheap site to see, like, would people buy it? Yeah. We didn't do that. We invested a lot in the infrastructure. For this specific product, I threw up a landing page that I built myself. Meet your virtual planner, free consultation, free, you know, tasks, or free consultation, pay tasks. Yeah. We threw up that landing page to see, was there an appetite for this product? There, in fact, was. We actually worked with an agency that we outsourced the build so that the core business of our media company was still kind of focused. Took us about 90 days to get the initial product out. We launched it. And we've been shipping every month updates. The biggest update is actually coming this week. We're introducing our first ever chatbot. Her name is Ava, expert virtual assistant, and she is designed to answer any of your wedding planning questions.
So you guys put in all the coding of if they ask this, it knows all the automated responses?
Well, we have 3,000 pieces of editorial content we've put out about weddings for the last 4 years. Okay. We've featured over 15,000 real weddings. And so we have a really powerful like data set on how much things cost, what cool trends are.
And that's integrated into this person?
Exactly. Okay. So the first version of the app is simply used to onboard our users, ask them, are you engaged? When are you getting married? And then ultimately, our goal is to have Ava be able to service a lot of the couples at scale because they want answers. They want it now. And millennials are impatient and they don't want to wait for someone to reply, you know, dot, 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 waiting for that response.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly enough, most of our users are downloading the app between 9 o'clock at night and 2 a.m. when they're stressed out, laying in bed, planning their wedding. And so we need to be able to service them when they, you know, have questions or are ready to start planning.
What are you doing for marketing? Because you said, you know, we came up with the app, did some surveys. We wanted to find out if there was demand for it. But at the end of the day, did you just send it to your list of people that you already had? Did you draw traffic from Facebook ads or other types of marketing?
What'd That's a great question. So since the inception of the business, we've done no paid marketing. It's all been organic.
Still
to this date. Wow. So we have a pretty big following on Facebook, like 550,000 fans. Instagram is also big, 350,000. All organic. We just consistently put out content. My background was in brand and PR. So we do get a lot of earned media, which has been great. For this specific product, because we wanted to test and learn, we wanted to slowly send our users over there. So we still haven't done any paid marketing. We wanted to make sure the messaging, the pricing, everything was correct before we started spending against it. We now have great conversion rates in the app, really happy users. So now we're beginning to think about what's the next stage and potentially driving all of our users there or doing some paid marketing. So that's the next phase of the business.
Well, that's very impressive. Not a lot of companies can say that they're not spending any money and have that type of engagement. CEO and founder of Loverly, Kelly Khalil, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Are you guys eventually planning on spending money? Because you know, a lot of times you'll hear from coaches and consultants and business mentors that at the end of the day, the only way to have a long-term, scalable, and sustainable business is if you have a paid customer acquisition strategy. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, I think that to scale the business and to like actually get a bunch of users that were planning their weddings, we need to have a paid strategy. We also need to know, can we acquire users profitably? And that is very important if we want to actually raise a large venture round to scale the business. So I think it's very important to make sure we can acquire users profitably. Up until this point, we haven't done it. So that's a big question mark. And that's something that we're beginning to test and learn from. Ultimately, too, I think that you'll find that with paid marketing, you can target certain types of customers and some might be more valuable than others. And so I think that'll be interesting to test and learn kind of who our sweet spot customer is. Is it the bride 18 months out or is the one that's 6 months out that's kind of freaking out?
So you said 550,000 people on social media following you guys.
Yeah.
You obviously figured out what's working.
Yeah.
And you didn't even pay for it. Not that paying for it's bad because, I mean, you can pay to just put your content out there.
Yeah.
But you've been able to get over 500,000 people to follow you just based on your content. So you obviously know some pretty good do's and don'ts for building your personal brand on social media. What are those do's and don'ts?
So I think content is definitely king. This generation, millennials in particular, thrive on authenticity. And so we had a very fresh approach to speaking about weddings, a way more inclusive. We showed all different types of couples. And the things we talked about were things that couples really care about. So, you know, what to do if you have lost a parent? How do you honor them at your wedding? You know, what to do if you have divorced parents? How do you label the invitations, right? So we talked about things that I think a lot of people in the bridal industry didn't. And so that authenticity really resonated. We also had a consistent strategy. We put out content 3 to 5 times a day. When you go to our Loverly Instagram or Facebook, you see a photo, you know it's a Loverly image just based on our aesthetic. So it's a really, we have very well-established brand kind of guidelines and people know what to expect from us.
How do you know what content to put out though? Because nowadays, lots of people know that content is king. You've got to put your information out there. But we also live in an information overload.
Yep.
We have way too much information out there. And it's tough to really know who to discern the right information from.
Yep.
So my question is, you know, how does somebody know what the right content is to create?
So what's interesting about our platform is as we've built in our users, we can see what they're searching for, what they're clicking, loving, and saving. And so that has always been the underlying kind of data set that we write our content about. So right now we see purple bridesmaids dresses are trending. Let's write a story on that. So based on our own user data, then we started looking at what was trending on social. So Facebook has trending stories. Instagram has the same. And I think that's also been really helpful to see what kind of the more global community cares about and writing content around that.
So you said transparency and authenticity. A lot of people don't do that on social media.
Yep.
So how can they start to show up with their brand and their content to be more authentic?
So I think you can do it in different ways. Authenticity might be the way in which you speak to your customers. So the voice, feeling approachable and real, rather than you're just like a brand that's pumping out content. I think if you look at successful, true like brands, whether it's apparel or whatnot, people identify with the ones that they feel like they have a connection with that feel real and approachable. And I think that's part of, you know, our essence of our brand.
How did you get so many people to actually engage? 550,000 people, when you're not paying for them to like it or anything like that, did you have call to action to say, follow us, like us for more information?
Yeah.
Was it organic? Is that?
So a couple of things. On Instagram in particular, we started a hashtag, So Loverly. So we encouraged couples to share their So Loverly wedding moments. And we also engaged the community of wedding vendors, photographers, stationers. So we launched that hashtag, and literally in the last 4 years, we've had over like 250,000 submissions. And that's how we actually find the content that we feature on Instagram, is user submitted through that hashtag. And so people then continue to submit. It's like a nice virtuous cycle. Then they follow the account to see if they get featured. So that's been really helpful on Instagram. And then on Facebook, when you write content, and especially in 2015 and 14, Facebook really started promoting publishers. And a couple of our articles that were really funny and well-written went viral. And so we got a lot of fans that way. And then we've been able to continue to engage them. Yeah.
What are a lot of businesses failing at, or they could be doing better at, when it comes to marketing and targeting millennials? 76 million just in the US alone.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, very broad sweeping question. I think in the bridal industry in particular, what they value is transparency. And one of the biggest challenges for when you're planning a wedding, people don't know how much it's going to cost. And people don't put their pricing and availability online. And it's super frustrating. So it takes six emails back and
forth.
Just to figure out, are you available? Can I afford you? So I think that it's important for small business owners to respond quickly and timely. That's part of what our app does, is make sure, hey, if we're connecting with someone, they're available and you can afford them. But I think that it's that speed of response, and or at least put some information out there. Because before they pick up the phone to call you, they want to know what their, you know, who you are, what your pricing is, at least as a starting point.
What do you feel like is, for the aspiring entrepreneur, the right time for them to cut the cord? Is it when they have enough money saved up? Is it, like some people say, just do it, just cut the cord, burn the bridges and the boats and just get started? When's the right time for that person who has a 9-to-5 job to cut the cord and go all in on their entrepreneurial endeavors?
When to make the jump to be an entrepreneur, I think it's definitely a personal decision, but I think there's a couple of things that you should consider. One, have you done a good feasibility analysis? Do you know that this business could actually work? Have you talked to a bunch of people in the space? And not just your friends and family who are going to give you positive affirmations like, yeah, that's a great idea, do it. Do the work, definitely. I think, too, make sure you have enough runway, because in order to, personal runway, in order to be able to focus on building a business, you cannot be stressed, can I pay the rent? Or focus on building a business that's going to generate revenue quickly so that you can actually pay yourself.
So at the end of the day, it's contextual.
Yep.
Really depends on the individual. But I like what you said there, because for each individual, it's going to vary. Some people say, just do it. And I'm always like, I don't know if that's the best advice. There's no context there. But it is. It's contextual. It depends on the individual.
And it's also test a little bit. Yeah. Validate your assumptions. Throw up a free landing page. It's so easy now. There's so many platforms out there to build landing pages, which will take you 15 minutes. Yeah. And you could spend $50 on Facebook to see if there is demand for that product or service you're offering.
Kickstarter, Indiegogo, a lot of platforms now let you test the idea and the theory to see if it works before. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can small businesses improve customer relations? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. Now more than ever, customer experience plays an important role on retaining repeat business. Here are some tips to make sure your customers are coming back for more. 1. Employee support. Make sure all of your employees are well-trained and able to speak to anybody that walks through that door, calls, or emails about your business. 2, question your customers. The only way to know what customers want is by asking them. surveying them, asking them what they hope to obtain from your business and what their expectations are for you. 3, offer promotions. Regulars can be the best word of mouth business. Creating loyalty programs treats regulars a little more special. Applying these tips can help mold your daily business routines as well as build your brand image. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
So what are the key elements that make entrepreneurs successful today? Joining us to help answer that question is John Assaroff, the CEO of NeuroGym. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. John, what are some of those key elements? We were just talking about one of them.
Oh, one of them. But the first one that's really hard for a lot of people is to get precision of vision. And that is to start off with the end goal in mind when the facts of how to get there are not there. So to suspend disbelief and to have enough faith that once you set the vision, you can then reverse engineer all of the how-to. Mm. But so many people are petrified of setting a big grand vision because they don't have the knowledge, the skills, the money, the tools, the resources, the employees, and they allow that to control their thinking, not being aware that once you set the vision and then you make a commitment to that vision, you set off a processional effect in your brain that allows you to figure out how you can versus what you can't. Mm. And so number one is vision, number two is commitment, and then number three is adaptability. And so I share with, you know, with entrepreneurs and people that I talk about is we have never ever experienced an era like we're in right now.
It's like Peter Diamandis stuff, right? Exponential change.
Exponential change, exponential overwhelm, exponential confusion, exponential options, exponential distractions, which all leads to being able to be adaptable to the change. So one of the things that's really, really critical is to pick a strategy and fully commit to the execution of that in pencil. Why do I say in pencil? Because A strategy should be dynamic in today's day and age. And when things are changing so rapidly, you want to be able to be flexible like bamboo, sturdy and flexible like bamboo, where you can have your plan, but you also have the awareness that there may be a shortcut. I know when I watch my kids, you know, playing their video games, I remember something called Power Up. And so once they hit these certain levels, they get to hit this button, it's Power Up. You have to look for the Power Up opportunities. So how do you do that? Well, you develop an awareness of what the landscape is. And so I use this analogy. Imagine you want to see Manhattan. You get in a helicopter and you fly over Manhattan and the pilot tells you, hey, take a look down here, is Manhattan. If you want to get another layer of experience, land the helicopter in Manhattan, walk around. If you want to get another layer of that experience, move to Manhattan and walk around, let's say, Central Park. So you first start off with the big vision and then you break down into the micro pieces. And so you become adaptable to change. And then the other part is collaboration versus individualism. And too many entrepreneurs think today that they have to have on the sales, the marketing, the management, the finance, the lead generation, the lead conversion, the technology. They think they have to have all that stuff. And the truth is, no, you don't. You as an entrepreneur needs to know that these are the pieces that you need. And then number one job for you is to replace yourself from the things that you are having a hard time with. So if you happen to be a terrible salesperson, but you're excellent at finance, figure out how to take care of the conversions and the metrics side of your business. If you have to be great at social media marketing, then focus on that and find people who play at the things you have to work at.
CEO of NeuroGym, John Astroff, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about some of the key traits that make entrepreneurs these days successful. For somebody out there who says, hey, look, I still think that having resources can dramatically put you on a path to success. But at the end of the day, you know, so many entrepreneurs say it's not about the resources, it's about resourcefulness. How can somebody be more resourceful in a nutshell?
Well, first, you've got to know yourself. Right. So you've got to know, what is it that you play at? What is it that you naturally want to do? And you've got to be careful that what you naturally want to do is be distracted, because distractions kill more success than anything else. And so you have to have the discipline to stay focused. And if you could have, you know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes at a time of focus, if you do that once or twice or three times a day, you won't have to worry about anything else. The one thing I want to make sure of, especially with the younger entrepreneurs that's saying, yeah, it's easy for you to say, get some resources, I don't have the money yet. You have to force yourself to think outside that belief pattern. And what I can share with you is, if you have a grand enough vision and you know what you do really well, and you introduce your vision to other people, not everybody needs money. Not everybody needs the amount of money that you may have to pay other people if you give them an opportunity to participate in the vision. And if somebody can help you make the vision bigger, you can either do things yourself, you can get help doing it, you can get it done for you, or not do it. So when you get other people to help you, then you're gaining leverage on yourself and on the vision and the mission that you have. And when people say, well, I can't afford it, I say, well, you can barter it, you can defer payment, you could partner, you can hire. Those are four options. Don't always think that you have to hire somebody.
You have to use cash right now to get it done.
Right. You can trade with somebody. You can trade your X for their Y, your time for this. So I've shown people how to barter for, whether it's vocal lessons and website design. Put an ad in the newspaper, say, hey, I can give you website design. What have you got? Or I can give you voice lessons. You know, I need web design. And I guarantee you, there's other people who may be very rich, but short of cash, right, that want to exchange. And there's other people who say, yeah, I'll do the work, pay me down the road. Or I'll do the work, give me partial cash, partial equity. There's so many different ways to get stuff done.
So these are awesome practical steps. You've not only been an amazing mentor for myself, but for the people out there who say, I want to learn more from this guy. You do so much more than just talk about the brain and business. Where can people learn more about you and follow you?
Two places. If they want to come to a free online event with me and some other brain experts in the world, we have a thing that we do called the Brainathon. And it's to help people get rid of the mental and emotional obstacles that holds them back, and they go to yourbrainathon.com, yourbrainathon.com, or they can see what I do with my company at myneurogym.com.
Perfect. John, awesome. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.